CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs. We just had a fantastic conversation around the world of blogging and how you can turn it into a career. And I think what did we learn from Ben? We learned that blogging is not really about being a blogger. It's about creating content and being passionate about the industry that you're in, right?
I love the fact that he was just committed to his work, you know, and with our economy constantly being tougher and tougher, I think for individuals and businesses, you really have to get the sweet spot of why your business exists. And I think that is basically the kind of topic for our next conversation, Gareth.
Well, exactly. So Ben, I mean, he really runs his own business in many ways. And so he has to have a profit margin. There's the word, there's the term. And so what are we talking about today? We're talking about how to improve that profit margin, especially as a small business or maybe even some of you who are running micro enterprises. Shall we get our guest to introduce himself?
Always the case on Future CEOs.
Always the case. Jeremy, welcome to the studio. It's good to have you. Would you mind just introducing yourself to everyone? Tell everyone why they should be listening to you around this topic of improving your profit margins.
Well, good afternoon and thanks for having me on the show. My name is Jeremy Lang. I'm one of the regional general managers for Business Partners, and we've been investing in entrepreneurs for over 35 years. Me personally, been involved in this space for over 10 years. So it's a space I really enjoy and certainly very exciting.
How did you get into the space?
I'm actually from a financial and auditing background,
okay.
But this space is much more exciting.
Is it?
The innovation.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an absolute need, and I say that with all respect to the auditors, but this space for me personally is a lot more exciting and personally satisfying.
Okay, very, very nice. Well, welcome to the studio. We appreciate it. I think there was some research that you guys did recently that came out recently that really highlights this some important stuff around profit, I mean specifically net profit especially. Do you want to just go into some of the findings that there were, some of the conclusions that you're able to draw out of that research as well?
Yeah, I think we had some suspicion that things were not going well for SMEs over the last year. The evidence has come out released by Statistics SA that has now proven that. And these have come from a combination of our experiences with our clients. But as mentioned, the evidence now supports this. And what it's showing is that there's a clear decrease in terms of turnover to some extent, but also profitability for SMEs, which is really not a good sign in the current economy.
Yeah. There is a difference between profit and turnover. A lot of it's surprising how many entrepreneurs who are just getting into their businesses don't understand the difference. Do you want to just give us a very, very brief description of the two and the difference?
Yeah, I'll even take that comment and extend it to a third point, because turnover, whilst that is the income that you generate from the product or service that you offer, profit is really the credit that you make after you servicing all your expenses.
Mm.
But ultimately, profit it also does not realize into cash in the bank.
Yeah.
And that's the third one. So
great
entrepreneurs
point.
Should really focus on all
three, correct.
Collectively.
Beautiful.
And not be naive to think while you're making a profit you have cash in the bank. It may not be the case.
So what are we talking about? We're talking about cash flow. We're talking about revenue. And we're talking then about this idea of profit, net profit specifically. So we have this the research from Stats SA. Just tell us very quickly some of your conclusions, your thoughts on that research.
Okay, so I think there's some very clear reasons to what's going on in the market at the moment.
Please enlighten us, educate us.
If we look at the growth in the economy, it's clear that there's little to no growth at the moment, which means that this pie is not getting any bigger. Okay, so to grow your own business, you need to either establish industries that don't exist to attract new markets or take away market share from your competitors. But in doing so, the one way in which you can lure customers away from your competitors is to lower your prices.
Sure.
Thus, you start cutting into your margins, and a price war is already established in some of the industries.
Mm.
Now, whilst your turnover is not growing, unfortunately, overheads don't stay the same.
Yeah. Mm.
Wage demands put pressure on businesses.
Yeah, we've got inflation.
Landlords don't want to accept 0% increases.
Yeah. Mm.
You have other increases, utilities, electricity increasing in excess of inflation rates.
Mm.
This is putting pressure on entrepreneurs. Now, entrepreneurs don't have the financial muscle and resource to support these tough times of sustained, low sustained economic activity. So entrepreneurs have to be quite innovative in re-looking at how their business model works and efficiencies within their businesses.
Are there only those two options? So, I mean, I look at it and I think, well, surely not every market is saturated. You know, not everyone is buying your product, but is that an expensive way to go and try and bump up your profits, is to go and try and increase perhaps your cost per acquisition, you know, because that's what it really ultimately boils down to, is you have to reach out to more people.
Yeah, unfortunately, the most vulnerable line on your income statement in tough times is your marketing spend.
Mm.
And entrepreneurs so quickly tend to cut that spend.
Yeah.
And on the contrary, I say don't, because
really?
This is probably where you need to make yourself more known than any other time.
But I suppose that means just using the digital market and technologies, you know, as much as possible as an entrepreneur.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, what digital marketing and social media has done to some extent is level the playing field.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Before, the one with the biggest check could put ads on TV, could do media print. In terms of digital and social platforms, you can be as equal as anybody else.
Yes.
If you get your marketing campaign correct.
And what's
love
also
that.
So what's
love
so
that,
what's so important
Gareth.
About it? No, it's very, very good, because what's so important about it, of course, is that you can also target very, very specifically. And so you put a billboard up on, and for a colleague of mine and I were talking about this the other day, you put up a billboard on a highway, and you can already cut out 50% of the cars that are coming past, because 50% of those people, for example, don't have children. And so if your billboard is about, I don't know, a toddler device or something, I don't know. I don't have children, so I'm really grasping with yours. I shouldn't have used that example. But you can already cut out half. And then you have to say, okay, well, now half have children, how many of those have toddlers? And then you cut out a whole another element, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So data analysis is key, basically.
Yeah, and
Gareth,
coming back
your
to
favorite.
And coming back to the marketing strategy,
yes.
We have clients that have built the entire business off social media marketing.
You know what, that is so crucial in just our world that we live in, Johannesburg, and the celebrity culture. That's basically what makes them celebrities, is their followers, their online and social media presence. And that's where brands and corporates really want to invest. So that's where they're getting all their money and their branding from. So completely right. I just had to say that.
On a business partner's, or from a business partner's perspective, have you guys had to yourselves change the way that you think about marketing? Because you guys are very hands-on. You support the entrepreneurs that you're funding.
Yeah, we have developed a social media strategy. Mm-hmm. We're quite active. Mm-hmm. I also run live Twitter feeds on certain topics where we engage with entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs. Quite active on Facebook, and also our website's quite interactive. We get a lot of inquiries and requests for information via our website. So it is an absolute must for every business at this stage, as a minimum.
Okay.
To complement your other marketing strategies. But that's the way the world is moving. We have a look at who's our entrepreneur going to be in 20 years' time. Is it going to still be the traditional running a factory? We don't think so. The way new businesses are evolving in the tech space, in the ICT space, we've got to step up to their level to make it easier for them to do business with us.
Which industries in your capacity as business partners are really doing well, whether come recession or not, and are always consistent?
Yeah, that's always a very good question. In the entrepreneurial space at the moment, we're still very keen on the manufacturing space. I mean, in light of all the bad news around us, we experience some really wonderful, innovative products that entrepreneurs are still manufacturing at the moment. The second one is the education space, where there's the second-tier private school market developing.
Yeah, the Kuros of the world, for example.
Even a market just below that, where parents can't afford the top-end schools, but they want a better than the public offering school. And this market's developing. We're quite aggressive there.
I remember seeing an email come through where I think you guys have created an education fund. Is that correct?
We need to get
that
in there, future CEOs. That's where we need to be, our bridge. Sorry, that was private.
It's private on air, live.
Continue. We're all ears. Yes.
So that's a space where we're quite active at the moment with really great success. And the nice thing about the schooling market is it's quite a predictable model. Parents seem to pay their school fees, so there's no big write-offs. And the overhead base is quite predictable as well, certain number of teachers, certain amount of overhead. So from that perspective, it's a really, and the demand is there, there's no doubt.
Of course.
We're building schools by the day, it's great. So that's really, really good. And then lastly, also in the child entertainment space, there's also a lot coming up, the rushes, the bounces, the monkeynastics, and all these things. So parents seem to be wanting a safe and secure environment for their children to have fun in. I grew up on the streets with sticks and stones playing like that. But I think in the current environment that we find ourselves in, parents do want a safer environment for their kids to play in. So that market has also picked up. The service and retail remains stable. It's up and down here and there, but it still remains a big part of businesses that we invest in. We're seeing more and more innovation coming through. We've also got a venture capital arm where we're financing much earlier stage businesses with entrepreneurs.
Yeah, which is something quite new, because you guys were always very conservative with the way that you would approach things. It was always a small or medium business, not necessarily new business.
Yes, traditionally, if you look over the past 35 years, our focus was very much on what we call lifestyle businesses. It's not going to change the world, but you can make a decent living out of it, like a restaurant, like a service station. But what we found, there's a big need for earlier stage funding. I can assure you, with my experiences with entrepreneurs, there's no shortage of innovation in this country. Between, especially in the Gauteng region and the Western Cape, a little bit out of the Durban region, there is absolute an abundance of innovation. It's about helping these entrepreneurs, supporting them through funding, and taking their product to market that they need support with. So business partners, in addition to funding, and many other funders do this as well, in addition to the funding, you need to plug that hole in terms of giving them support, giving them the financial and business acumen.
The full package.
Yeah. Because all entrepreneurs want to do, they want to make stuff.
Yeah, they just want to do what they do, right?
And what they love. So we try and support them in that way. But a very interesting and exciting space. And here we really are looking for innovative products that can change the world. The new Facebook, the next Google, and so on.
I wanted to ask, so we did was it last week already? It feels like it was a long time ago. We had a funding conversation with a venture capitalist, and we don't ask for funding until, what is the title of the show. And an excellent conversation. You are now talking about potentially a little bit more early stage investing. When do you, as a investor, in a business, expect to realize profits? Because let's go back to our original conversation about net profit. When should a business actually realize those profits, and when is it okay not to realize profits? Let's take those two questions.
Okay, so if you have a look at the venture capital market or landscape in South Africa, you can generally cut it up into three.
Sure.
The first one is your real R&D concept stage seed funding, of which there are a few institutions that fund. The second one is where you have a working prototype, and you haven't sold one yet, but you're now ready to take that product to market. And the third stage is within a period of, let's say, 2 years, you're still deemed to be early stage startup. And funders have different appetites for different of
Correct.
Those stages. So we fund, for example, in stages 2 and stage 3.
Mm.
But in terms of your question, coming back to that, at what point do you expect to realize profit? You need to take an investment term view. So most investors will take a 5 to 7 year view. Some may take a much longer term view and realize returns over a long 15, 20 year period.
Sure.
But for the most part, within a 5 year period, you at least expect a business to break even. And within a 2 to 3 year period, that's sort of the industry accepted norm. And post year 3, you then expect profits to start generating.
So are you saying that a small business that is out there mustn't expect to be making huge amounts of profit, or perhaps even any profit at this point in their life cycle?
Yes, it depends, and it varies from industry to industry and opportunity to opportunity. But I think, like I said, the accepted norm is somewhere between 1 and 3 years. If you're running a business for 3 years at a loss,
maybe it's time.
Those losses need to be funded somewhere.
Mm.
So
sure.
You need to have a good plan, and at least within the short to medium term, convince investors that within a certain period that has a definite end date, that you will start to realize profits and the investors will start to realize returns. But within a five-year period, we expect that the business becomes stable, grows, and starts generating profits to grow into a bigger business into the future.
Mm. So can partnerships save the business model if you want not to die as an entrepreneur?
Yes, so your partnerships are absolutely key. Remember that it is almost as good as a marriage at the end of the day, and the person you bring on board or the institution you bring on board with you, you need to do quite a lot of homework into what their role will be in the business, the ability of that person or institution to limit your ability as an entrepreneur, because you can't suddenly do what you want to do and implement the ideas you want to implement. So you need to have a shared vision and meeting of the minds in terms of what this business wants to achieve at the end of the day. If you're somebody that likes control, don't take an investor on board that's going to get operationally involved in your business. If you want some value to come with an investor to open networks and so on, make sure that you do some research and this investor has that capability to open some doors for you and give you some market access.
Let's talk about the market for a moment. So we are in a tough economic period. We've spoken about close to zero growth that is going on locally, but I mean really globally in many cases as well. What do we do? How do we respond? What must we do right now as a small business when we look at the next 2, 3, 4 years going ahead? What do we do? What do we do right now? Action.
I think the entrepreneur has one great advantage, and that they can adapt and make decisions much quicker than a big business can. So they can change strategy, change tact very quickly. There's a few things that an entrepreneur can do to try and position his business better. Firstly, they've got to have a focused project on relooking at the efficiencies in the business. Where are we wasting money? Where can we improve? Where can we incentivize our staff and get more out of them in a working day? These are all things that can assist you.
Is there one question that you can ask around efficiency that applies to every part of the business? You know, that magic question?
Yeah, I think it's about re-looking at whether you're getting absolute value for your spend.
Okay.
Where are the leakages? Where can we fix up? I think one must also accept that you need to get reserve facilities in place. Cash flow is absolutely key. And for many entrepreneurs at the moment, it's all about survival, not even growth. So getting that backup facilities in place, nobody's going to want, or very few funders will want to give you money when you're already making losses.
When you're burning it.
You've got to have a plan. You've got to have a vision. Be realistic, but be optimistic. Don't lose that passion that you've had that got you into this business in the first place. So entrepreneurs are renowned for being resilient, overcoming challenges day in, day out, and still making a success of the business. And it's not to give up. The country needs it. Entrepreneurs are the ones that's creating jobs in our economy at the moment. And the tide will turn.
Will it?
I think if you look back, we've been struggling since 2008. It's almost 10 years now. There's been ups and downs, but it's a small cycle if you look at the history of economies, and economies do happen in cycles, and it will turn. The question is when, but for now it's survival, it's improving efficiencies, it's getting the cash reserve facilities in place.
I really want to be a little bit naughty there and look at you and wink and say our political leadership.
True that.
But I'm just being, sure. I'm being naughty. But so last week during the funding conversation that we had, we said funding actually comes last. There's five things, and funding should technically come last when you're looking at a business. What is your feeling on people always blaming funding as the reason for the downfall of their business? So we pull it back to this idea of profit. Please, just your thought.
Okay, so two quick points there. The first one is, in a tough economy, access to funding is probably more difficult than normal. And there's a reason for that.
That's so true.
If you look across the funding industry, financing industry, across banks and everyone else, the level of potential bad debts have increased. So what they call impairments, that's the provision for debts that they expect to incur. So there's a natural withdrawal from the SME market because commercial funders generally see this as a risky industry.
Yeah, there's a risk, yeah.
Okay, so that's the one reason in terms of access to funding. However, in the same breath, I say there is no shortage of funding in South Africa.
Mm.
It's about convincing that investor to give you the money.
Yeah, showing that there's a market, that there's a scalable opportunity and so on.
Great. So last year, we as a company alone put just under R1 billion in the hands of entrepreneurs.
In tough economic times.
We are one of many companies that's funding entrepreneurs. The secret, and this is something I always try and transfer this knowledge to entrepreneurs, is the funding landscape in South Africa is very vast and very complex. Why I say that? Different funders have different risk appetites,
correct.
They have different industry preferences,
correct.
Different investment sizes, and different levels of risk that they are willing to take. But what entrepreneurs do is they don't inform themselves to who's doing what.
Mm.
So they go and knock on every door they can find, getting closed doors,
yes.
And they become despondent,
yes.
In the process.
Yes.
So my recommendation and my suggestion is to all entrepreneurs is do research on the funders you wish to approach and make sure that there is a match in terms of the type of funder you need, the profile business you are, the stage business you're at, and the funder that you're going to approach. And when you align yourself as close as possible to that, you increase the success of your chances to raise funding.
That's such a great point. Gareth, anything else?
Well, I mean, I'm just fascinated by the idea that there are businesses out there that still don't take a strategic approach to their profits, to looking at their profits. Just a word on that. I don't, because I think I've asked a couple of questions, but we haven't got quite to the crux of the matter. This idea that profit is not something that you realize in the first year of your business.
Mm.
Yes, there are many school fees that you pay initially as an entrepreneur, and one must plan for it and budget for it and make sure that you have enough cash reserves to fund these initial startup losses. The expenses you think you can incur, I can assure you there's going to be more than
double
that.
It, yeah, right?
So there are always those unexpected expenses that you're going to incur. It's very seldom that I see turnovers actually being achieved that entrepreneurs expect to achieve from day one. Sometimes half or a quarter of that normally gets realized. So be conservative initially in your startup projections, but have a plan. That's key.
Just very quickly, define what an entrepreneur is to you. So when you use the word entrepreneur, what does that actually describe? Because we are in a world where individuals describe themselves as entrepreneurs, but actually the businesses that they're running, you know, in inverted commas, aren't real businesses. They're jobs. They've just created a job because no one is going to employ them. When you say entrepreneur, what are you talking about?
Okay, that's an interesting point. I think in South Africa, we use entrepreneur across all small and medium business owners.
Yeah.
But in fact, there's a distinct difference between a small business owner,
yes.
And an entrepreneur. Yes. A small business owner has a smallish business, making a good living out of it, and has no desire to build an empire out of this business. An entrepreneur is somebody that absolutely wants, from day one, he sees this big, massive business, global, international corporation that he wants to take this small business to. So he's much greater vision, an absolute desire to grow the business.
Would you say that they're better at strategy and planning as well? Real entrepreneurs, are they, aren't they? I don't know.
Yeah, I think they vary quite significantly. Some entrepreneurs are very innovative and very good technically, but lack the business acumen.
Sure.
And investors that come on board that see the potential in the product should bring skill sets and build a management team,
yes,
with this entrepreneur,
correct.
To surround the entrepreneur. That happens quite often. But the ultimate characteristic for me of an entrepreneur is passion and desire to grow this into a massive empire. And that we don't really distinguish between the two in South Africa. But if you look at definitions globally, that is the distinct difference.
Mm, okay, very nice. Libby.
Last couple of words. As an entrepreneur, I don't want my business or business ideas or business model to die in this really weak economy. Give me 5 points of advice.
Okay, so we touched on some of these a little bit earlier. Is you've got to relook at your business model. You've got to take time out of your business. Entrepreneurs are very busy with everything every day.
So,
but take a step back and have a real bird's eye view of your business. Where are you going? What challenges are you facing? Where can we cut down? Where can we improve on margins? Get the reserve facilities in place and innovate within your business. Innovation brings wonderful things to a business.
Is that then two? So that was one and then two.
Yeah, I'm running out fast.
Okay. So we are running out of time. So let's go through the list very, very quickly. So first, number one was?
First thing is review your business.
Review your business model. Innovation, well, that was part of the review, right?
Yeah. Okay. Secondly is improve your efficiencies in your business.
Okay.
Thirdly, you've got to get cash flow reserves set up in the case you need them.
Yes.
Great.
Fourth, make sure you got the right people backing you.
Yes.
Very nice.
And lastly, is that passion that you've had for your business. I've got to come back to that. Don't let it die. Don't be disheartened by what's going on around you. You're in control. Control the things you can and ignore the things that you can't.
And can I add one?
Yeah.
Don't buy a Merc when you don't need a Merc. I mean, come on, buy a Merc, but just not right now. Okay. Well, Phoebe, how do you feel about the conversation?
I feel so educated. And you know what? You just gave me my guts back, because I think as entrepreneurs, we need to follow our guts and believe in our guts. And you just gave me my guts back. Thank you so much for spending time out of your busy schedule to amplify and advocate and catalyze South African entrepreneurship.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Jeremy, thank you. Thank you so very much. All right, we'll be with you same time,
Jeremy.
Same place next week. We look forward to seeing you there. Remember, if you have missed this conversation or you joined halfway and you want to hear the rest of the conversations, go to cliffcentral.com or future-ceos.com. You can find the podcast there. We'll see you next week. Cliffcentral.com.